The reappearance of the Ten Commandments as a contemporary subject of American political controversy sent me to a remarkable new volume that arrived a few weeks ago, the Jewish Study Bible. More than 2,000 pages, it contains the Jewish Bible in English, with annotation and commentary that is both copious and readable. Mark Brettler, a biblical scholar at Brandeis University, is one of the co-editors of this work and joins us. Professor Brettler, one of the first things that you find noteworthy about the Ten Commandments as they appear in the 20th chapter of Exodus is the preamble, verse 1, God spoke all these words.
Yes, this is very unusual, and actually one of the questions to ask about the so-called Ten Commandments is why people make such a big deal out of them. After all, the Bible is full of law. According to traditional rabbinic counting, there are 613 different commandments. So why should these particular 10 get singled out? Mm-hmm. And the text itself makes that quite clear, that though there are many laws in the Hebrew Bible, it is only these which are attributed to God, where there is speech by God, where all Israel is hearing. So that's what makes these special from a biblical perspective.
You mentioned in the notes that elsewhere in the ancient Near East, there were legal codes, but they were the work of humans. They were the work of kings, typically.
Yes, and in fact, you could probably argue that much of the depiction that you have here in Exodus chapter 20 and elsewhere is of God as a king with a capital K, where he is the lawgiver. And in fact, when you read the rest of the Bible, something that's quite remarkable, you look at David, you look at Solomon, you look at some of the lesser-known kings, laws are not attributed to them, because from the biblical perspective, it is ultimately God who is the lawgiver.
One of the commandments reads, "You shall have no other gods before me." The Jewish Study Bible notes, this is not a theological statement denying the existence of other gods.
That is correct. That, like so many other parts of what I would prefer to call the Decalogue, is very often misunderstood. And here, it's really quite simple. It is not a commandment saying that there absolutely are not any other gods. In fact, the Bible elsewhere acknowledges the notion that there are other gods which are given for other nations. But this is specifically a set of laws for the people Israel. And there, the notion is that God is to be worshipped alone.
I want to ask you about the last of the commandments, which I have to confess has always struck me as somehow lacking in the awe of, say, a declaration of divinity or a ban on idolatry or saying that you shall not murder. The ban on covetousness, what does this mean, you shall not covet?
Well, we're actually not sure, and your question is an excellent one, which has been asked for a very, very long time, because usually, as we understand covenanting, this is something which goes on in your own mind. And one of the questions which the commentaries talk about in the Jewish Study Bible, both in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, concern the extent to which this is covenanting is something theoretical, or whether this needs to match more closely what you have in the rest of the Decalogue, namely coveting either that you act upon or tempted to act upon. But in any case, you're certainly right that it doesn't match what you have in the rest of the Decalogue, but it's also important to realize there are a whole range of notions that you have in the Decalogue, and at least as we understand it, not all of the Decalogue involves capital offenses, and certainly no one is going to suggest that coveting, which you do not act upon, is a capital offense.
You use the word the Decalogue, the Greek for the 10 words, which, as the Jewish Study Bible points out, is actually closer to what these are called in the Hebrew tradition than the Ten Commandments.
Yes, that is exactly the case, and that is part of what I find so upsetting about all of these so-called Ten Commandment cases. The Hebrew term that you have in the Bible is Aseret HaDevarim, which, as the commentaries to both Exodus and Deuteronomy notes, can either be translated as the Ten Utterances or the Ten Words, or if I wanted to be more colloquial, I could even translate it as the Ten Things. It does not say that these are specifically commandments, and that's one of the huge differences between the predominant way in which Jews look at these and the way in which Christians look at these. So, for example, from the Jewish perspective, and you can still see this in many synagogues if above the ark where some version of the Ten Commandments is often represented, the first commandment that would be represented from a Jewish perspective is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. While from many Christian perspectives, that is an introduction or preamble to the Ten Commandments. And certainly, if they are Ten Commandments, that could not be a commandment and would need to be a preamble. But from a Jewish perspective, 10 words, 10 utterances, 10 sayings, it may begin with the first, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Professor Brettler, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It has been my pleasure.
Mark Brettler is the chair of the Department of Near Eastern and Judaic Studies at Brandeis University. Together with Adele Berlin, he is co-editor of the Jewish Study Bible.